Welcome, everybody. This is a special day. Roger is in Jacksonville to accept a award on behalf of the National Football League for work that's being done to put certified athletic trainers into all of the high schools here in Duval County. And it's a program that's been underway, I think somebody told me, 15 years. And it's only been over the course of the last 3 years since the NFL got involved that we've gone from zero trained athletic trainers at high schools up to five. And our goal now is to take that from 5 to 17, and today's a big part of that, plus the recognition of the investment from Shad and all his partners under the leadership of the National Football League, investment of over $100 million in trying to make the game safer. So it's my honor to introduce the commissioner of the National Football League, Roger Goodell. Roger.
Thank you, Mark. Welcome. I'm thrilled to be here. This is always fun to come back to the Jacksonville community. I like to tell people I spent a lot of time down here in the early 90s on the expansion process, and then had nothing to do with that, but I happened to meet my wife here also. It's always been sort of a place that feels like coming home in some ways. And I love being here in Jacksonville. And people here are great. The community's great. And it's so wonderful for me to be able to see the birth of the Jaguars and then to see the impact it has on the community. The football team's one thing. Wins and losses are another thing. Whoever Rob picks is a great thing. But at the end of the day, it's really about the impact that the franchise has on its community. And you see that here. And having just spent the last 2 hours with Shad and Mark talking about how that impact is occurring, the goods, the bads, what we can improve, it's really it's rewarding. And it's about the leadership that Shad and Mark and the Jaguars organization, I think, have in this community. But it's also what we stressed when we made the decision to come here, which was a public-private partnership. That's what it's all about. That's what's going to make this successful. And you see that here in this community. And you see the public, not just the public sector, but also the private sector and the organization really working together to make something special. We had a chance to see the new developments that are occurring here with the amphitheater and the indoor facility. I just think that's this organization continues to move forward, this community keeps moving forward, and that's a tribute to all of you and, of course, Shad and Mark. So congratulations. I'm going to open it up. You guys can ask any question you want. Fire away.
Big off-season news in Los Angeles, moving one of the teams. Mm-hmm. How's that move going, and do you ever see a second team out there?
Well, so far the reaction's been very good. We have 56,000 people that have put deposits down. That's just for that individual. So you figure they're going to buy 2 to 3 to 4 tickets. So it's the demand seems to be far in excess of what we're going to be able to meet. That's the good news. I think being back in the entertainment capital of the world, the second largest market, is something that we've struggled with for, sadly, say, 2 decades. But I think we have the right solution. I think we've got a stadium out there that's it's beyond just any stadium development you'll ever see. The investment is extraordinary. I think the facility itself is going to be great, but it's going to be an experience. We like to say you're not just buying a ticket to a football game, you're buying an experience. And that experience is something that we continue to try to raise the bar. And I think you're going to see that. And it's going to be required, in my view, in Los Angeles, because they have high standards when it comes to entertainment. And frankly, on the other side of it, they have a lot of alternatives. That's the one thing we always said about being in Los Angeles. It's no guarantee we'll be successful there. That's why we put such a focus on the stadium, such a focus on the plan to make sure that we reemerge there in a very positive way. So we're excited about that. The second team, we have an option for a second team. We've actually given that to the Chargers. It's their option until January 15th, I think, of next year. If they choose to exercise it, they'll go there. The good news is they're trying to get something done in San Diego. Just 2 days ago, they announced a downtown stadium plan, which I hope will be successful. We're working hard with the Chargers, with the community, to try to get that done. That would be a great outcome. And if they don't, it will go to Oakland as an option.
Playing games, of course, we appreciate that in London in a big way, Mexico City, China, 100 fingers coming up. What's the broader strategy long-term for the NFL in creating fan bases, and will you likely have teams in those countries? Can that work?
Well, let me take it two pieces. The basic strategy is to grow our game, grow the popularity of our game. We think anytime we share our game with people in other markets, there's a tremendous demand for it. They love it, and they want more of it. The games, playing regular season games, is a big part of that. Obviously, the media has to follow and all the other marketing activities. That's how we really make 1+1=5. And that has worked very successfully. The Jaguars have been a big part of that, huge part of that. I think it's been great for the Jaguars. It's been great for the NFL, and I think it's been great for this community, the way Schott has approached it in the Jaguars. So I'm very optimistic about our continuing growth on the global basis. I think it, as far as putting a franchise overseas, you know, every year when we started this, we would have never imagined. I think we're going to have, at the end of the season, 24 of our 32 teams will have played internationally. The demand from the teams to go over far exceeds the number of games we're playing now. We don't really have to push teams to go anymore. They want to go. So I actually believe that a franchise in London is realistic. We're still trying to make sure we can do it from a proper competitive standpoint. You don't want to put a team over there and have them at a competitive disadvantage. And then the logistics, just of how you work that out. That's not easy. I think we can find solutions to those issues in the way we schedule and the way we do things, but those are things that we're still focused on. As a market, I believe they can support a franchise. I just the way you see the reaction. Are we 100% convinced? No.
Well, when you go to China as an example, is that seems a little bit far off.
Listen, I won't be commissioner when we have a team in China. I can promise you that, if that's what you're asking. China's a huge market. We all know that. Anyone who's in business here, you know, you want to reach important markets. That's an important market for us. If we can make inroads there, we think that's important for us long-term in our global strategy of making football more popular on a global basis. I wouldn't say that a franchise in China is something that's on the front burner for us right now. I think our focus right now is if we can do that, we do it in London. Yes?
Do you believe that you have more playoff teams? And are you in favor of
the expanded playoffs? It's a tough one. You know, and the reason I say that is it works so well right now. We have 12 teams to qualify for the playoffs. And what it does, and it's not just the number of teams in the playoffs, it's what it does to our regular season. I think what makes the NFL great is every game means so much. That game means a great deal. And you don't want to ever lose that. You don't want to lose the fact that every regular season game is important. And only having 12 teams qualify, which is the smallest of any of the professional leagues by far, that's a good thing for us, is qualifying for that. Could you do it? Yes, you could do it. From a competitive standpoint, our competition committee said, we think we can do it properly. We're still looking at the broadcasting side of it. And then there's a labor relations side of it, too, which you have to deal with the union. But it'll continue to get discussion. Likely will happen at some point. But we want to be really cautious because we really like the balance we have and the importance of the regular season and the postseason. And you don't want to mess with that balance. You got to be really careful and cautious. Yes?
I know you've been particularly concerned about a head trauma issue.
Mm-hmm.
Is that moving along in the right direction as far as you're concerned?
Yes, I do think it is. I think there's when you look back in issues like this, and over the period of time, there's been extraordinary progress. There's tremendous amount of awareness. We've had 42 rule changes in the last decade that have all been focused on safety. The infrastructure that we have from a medical standpoint for our players is extraordinary. I would argue it's as good as in any industry other than obviously specifically the healthcare. But it is really a tremendous system. We have spotters now. We have medical timeouts that can stop a game when we see somebody that may need attention, not to make that evaluation, but to allow the medical professionals to make that determination on the field. We have independent neurologists there to help that decision so that we know that there's no competitive issues in that. And we always say that medical issues always override competitive issues. The cultural change that's happening in the NFL is extraordinary. And I think it's changing not just the game at the NFL level, but all levels of football. But I also believe it's changing other sports to a benefit. And I also believe it's changing other industries, including the military, where you see head trauma is a huge issue for them. And we've been sharing all our data, all our research. We're investing in new ways to address equipment and deal with better helmets that can take the impact. Fields, we have a couple of new fields that come out of a GE NFL Health Initiative, which is, can we take the impact out of the field? Not just from a defeat standpoint, but you'd be surprised how many concussions happen by just somebody's head hitting the ground. We think we can do that. We think innovation and technology can have a huge impact on making our game safer, and we've embraced that. And then there's research. How do you continue to advance research so we can understand what causes these injuries, how to treat them more effectively, of course, how to prevent them. And if there are long-term impacts, how do we deal with that in a responsible fashion? So we believe that the NFL has been leading here. We think we have a lot more work to do. We are not done yet. But we're also not going to wait for research. We're going to continue to make the positive changes in our game. Yes?
Your perspective on moving the extra point back to the 15 and then this year to change the kickoff touchback to the 25?
Well, the extra point last year was a play. I think our accuracy on the extra point was 99.6% last year, not the 2015 season, but the 2014 season. The change we had exactly the impact we thought it would. It took it down to about 94.2%, which is, we were able to look at field goals from that distance, and it came in within a very small margin of error. And what it did is it took a play that was simply automatic, and it made it, there was at least some excitement to it. It had an impact on the way I think people coach the game. I see Gus back there, and it's another decision they have to make, which is probably why he's not happy. But we had a higher as one impact, which we expected. By the way, we saw more teams go for 2 points on the conversion. Again, that added a little more excitement, a little more interest in the game. That's what we're all about. So safety first, and how do we make the game more exciting? How do we make it more competitive? It makes it tougher on the coaches, but I think that's what our fans really want, is that kind of competitive game and that kind of competitive balance. So I think it was very positive for us. The kickoff was something that the competition committee came up with. It's still one of those plays where we see a higher incidence of concussions on the kickoff than any other play. So how do you manage that, and how do you deal with that? We did move the kickoff yard line, which reduced the number of kickoff returns. That had a huge impact. I think it was a 42% reduction, if I recall correctly. And that was a positive. This will now, it'll give you an incentive if you're deep in the end zone to say, you know what, I'm going to hold. I'm not going to return the kick because I can get it to the 25. So it may have an impact on the number of returns. Probably a good balance in there. So we'll see what the impact is. There's also a thought, and Gus can talk to it better than I can, but, you know, would there be more mortar kicks and as such more returns? That's what we call the unintended consequences, and that's why the competition committee and our membership studies this so closely, to see what those unintended consequences. But until you do it, you really don't know. So we'll see this, and it's in for 1 year, and we'll see what the impact is, and we'll make adjustments from there. Yes?
Going back to growing the NFL globally, we had the live stream game on Yahoo this year. Mm-hmm. Is that something that you would be looking to expand and continue to ensure as well?
The answer is yes. We're probably not going to do it in the same format we did it last year. We learned an awful lot from that, and it was a very positive experience. But we're actually taking our Thursday night football games that are on NBC and CBS and the NFL Network, and we're going to have what we call a triple cast. So we'll have a broadcast partner, the NFL Network is a partner, and then we'll have a digital partner of some type. We probably will be announcing that in the next week. We're getting close on that. But it's another way to get our fans to engage. It's another way to get these technology companies to understand the content we have and allow fans who wish to watch it on their tablet, wish to watch it on their phone, may want to watch portions of it rather than the whole. But we'll give them that experience. And the reaction we've had in Silicon Valley has been extraordinary. We're just trying to figure out the right partner, and that's tough. But I expect that we'll learn a lot from that experience and continue to evolve. This is not the end of it. This is the beginning of it for us. We see our content as being a major driver to these technologies and to give us that opportunity to reach fans on a global basis directly. So we call it direct-to-consumer. We no longer have to go through a media company to get to them. We will continue to do that because that's the way to get the broadest audience. And our whole philosophy is, how do we maximize the audience? How do we reach the broadest audience? And there's a lot of folks that don't get television anymore, or they don't get paid television anymore. We want to reach you through one of those devices. And that's the effort we're trying to get at, without deserting the core of our broadcast philosophy. Yes. Yes, Rob. You want to tell us what the first draft pick did?
Is it okay? Well, I'm a little biased, but we did see arguably the game's greatest ambassador recently retire. I'm wondering who you think is going to fill that void, and what do you have any thoughts on what role Peyton, or what association Peyton might have with the league going forward?
You know, Peyton is not just an incredible player and performer, ambassador, but he's even a better guy, personally. I'm a huge fan of Peyton's. And the entire Manning family. I keep saying to Archie and Olivia, can't you have more kids? Because, you know, they've done some pretty good things for us. But, you know, it's time for him. He's very comfortable with his decision to move on from playing. I do believe he wants to continue to have a relationship in some fashion with football. He loves it. You won't find somebody who's more passionate about football than Peyton. But he's going to have to make some decisions on that. He's talked everywhere from front office to TV, and he's going through that process. And I think he should take his time. He should make the right decision for he and his family, and he will. He is, you know him, but he is as thorough and asks the kind of questions you really want. And we'll be proud to have him a part of the NFL in any way.
And who do you view as the people that are grab the
baton? You know, I think the one great thing, and we had this in the 90s, you know, when Joe Montana and John Elway retired, everyone said, wow, that's just good. People step into that. There are a lot of great young players in this league that are great men but also great players, and I believe there's a whole list of them that are going to step into that. Will they be the exact kind of players Peyton Manning? No. But they're going to be a different kind of player and a great representative of this league and take us to new heights. And so one thing I don't worry about is the quality of the game, although we keep focused on it, and the quality of the players. They continue to come and really enjoy this game. And we just have to continue to make it exciting for our fans and make it safe for those players.
I'll be taking a couple more, and then we've got a luncheon that fortunately we have to get to. But
yes.
How do you think Jacksonville is doing as an NFL market?
Well, we were just looking at some of the data, and you know, we knew when we came here it was a smaller market, but a very passionate market, and I think that's shown. I think we need to continue. We see the statistics when we look at it versus all the other markets. Its growth rate isn't quite as strong as we probably thought at one point in time, but that's overcome by passion, and it's overcome by the way the team's managed. And you've been very fortunate. You've had two great owners here. You know, the Weaver family is a great family, and I know how committed they were to Jacksonville, and Shad, who has become a real force in the NFL in a very short period of time and is doing the right things to make sure Jacksonville is on the right kind of platform. I personally believe it's a great market in the sense that while it's always going to be a smaller market, you can make up with that with passion. And I think that's what makes the NFL different. Small market teams can be successful in our league. And that's because of the way we share revenue amongst our teams. It's because of the cap system. And what Shad and Gus and everyone here working for is to try to win ball games and to bring the best kind of team here to this marketplace. And I think then you'll really see it shine.
Got about one more. And
Commissioner?
Yes.
I'm not sure whether I should ask you this in private. Or
well, then you just answered your question. Don't ask it.
But I'm going to roll the dice. And so following up the previous question, the NFL has done such an amazing job building its annual selection meeting into what's known as the draft. Uh-huh. What kind of things does a community like Jacksonville have to do to demonstrate to be able to be a part of a relevant conversation about the future of the draft?
It's a good question, Bill. Listen, I think one of the things we saw this morning, and it actually was in the plants, was how they could build the amphitheater and use that as part of the draft, how they could take the draft to another level. As you know, having been involved with the NFL for a long time and seeing the draft, we started in a ballroom in New York. Nobody ever came in to watch the draft. Then we took it to a little bigger facilities, and we took it to Radio City and sold out Radio City, and without price, by the way. And then we took it to Chicago last year, primarily because we had a conflict in Radio City, and it went to a completely different height. We had 250,000 people over the 3 days come to the draft. Now, I can tell you, I've been involved for 35 years. I would have never expected that 250,000 people would come watch a draft. But that's the impact that we're having with communities and with our fans. So we believe it even has greater potential to grow. My staff goes crazy when I talk about it, but I'm not so sure you couldn't have a draft in two different locations. You could have one night in one city and one night in another city, maybe another and a third. So we're evaluating all that. We want to do it cautiously and carefully and incrementally, but I do think this community could do a wonderful job with the draft, particularly with the facilities that are being planned. But it all comes back to fans' passion and the support of the leadership. Can we make this really special? When we do that in a small community and show the world what can really happen with something like the draft, that's magic for us. That's something that's special. So we would be interested in that.
Thank you.